was listening to Justin, and appreciate his thoughts. The world does get in the way, doesn't it? And it just overwhelms. So I ran across a there's this I'm going to call it a site. It's on the internet. I'm probably messing up the terminology, but there's this site that I have an app for on my phone, and it's a Southern Baptist site, and I go there every once in a while and listen to some things. But they always have this, you know, the catchphrase, try to get you to look deeper, and the one was, worshiping God is not about how I feel, but it's about how I bring glory to God. And I know I've talked about that before, and I'm not going to spend much time on it this morning, but the way it was worded, and that just gave me a sense of relief, because a lot of times I feel like I should get here, or whenever I think of God, I should just, like when Mason looks at his El Camino, the angels start singing, you know. And I should feel that way. I should just feel glorious and like I'm floating and, you know, my hands are up and, you know, all this stuff. And most of the time, I don't really feel that way. It's not that I don't want to worship God. It's not that I'm feeling rebellious. It's just that the world is here and God is kind of on the other side of that. And it's just, I have to fight my way through all this, these weeds, to get to God, seems like. And it's a relief that I don't have to already be on that plane to start worshiping God. That I can start in the mud and the mire and worship God and get to that plane. And that is a big relief to me, because I seem to spend a lot of time in the weeds and the mud. Anyway, this morning, moving on. I was going to pull Derek's. I'm going to start with some puns. All right, we'll do it anyway. I want to do it. All right, so it's Father's Day, right? All right. Let's find them so I don't screw them up. All right. This is a sign. Like you're driving down the road and you see along the road. It says, tried to grab the fog, I missed. That's hilarious to me. I don't know. Maybe nobody else thinks it's funny, but I do. All right. This one was really good, too. Rats. Maybe I'll save that one. Nah, I was going to try to do this one, deadpan. It says, the police came around last night and told me my dogs were chasing people on bikes. My dogs don't even have bikes. All right, we'll stop there. recognize this? It's about 2 months ago, I think we had a meeting. Oh, wait, that was a week ago. Yeah. All right. So, I want to go, I want to kind of summarize things, is what I want to do this morning. With my own twist, of course. So, try and follow. It may be tricky. All right. So, I noticed during the meeting, or most of the way through the meeting, that hey, these guys are almost all saying the same thing, I mean, they were talking on different subjects and stuff and had different things, but they were making the same points. And then Alan could have left his notes up here. It would have been the same thing, the same story. And I've said this before, is like, we shouldn't be shocked when one guy gets up and says something, and then the next guy gets up and it's like, oh, that's just exactly what I was thinking about, you know. And it's like we're all shooting at the same target or something. Oh, wait, we are shooting all at the same target, right? So it shouldn't be too much of a surprise when this happens. All right, so this is what I noticed from the meeting. Number one, they seem to, most of them seem to make the point, we are all in church to be saved from our sins. Seems over obvious, but that's why we're here, right? We're here to be saved from our sins. Number two, Christ is our first priority. Also seems over obvious. But so does the Lord's table seem over obvious, doesn't it? And we still seem to forget that. We seem to forget why we're here and why what our priority. Christ is first. And number three, our brothers and sisters need loving, and that's our second priority. And we tend to forget that. And I intend to go into these a little bit further. And the fourth thing was, we need to have soft hearts toward God and brethren. Our motive, our attitudes are key. And number five is, this was very important, I thought. Remember, we are starting from different places and points of view. Derek probably came in this door. At least some of the times he does. We come in that door, and we have a different perspective of the room just from the doorway you walk in. It's just different. Same place, but we look at it different. And number six is, we need to serve Christ and our brothers. And that was the overall. I was like lumping them all together, you know, making one cookie out of the whole mess. And so I was thinking about that. I was like, I don't remember that happening at past meetings before. And comments that were made, I've talked to several people after or during or between the meeting, and the same thing seemed to be coming up. And I think, I was thinking that the last year and a half has been very trying. And I think for one thing, the church suffered a lot during this year and a half. And I think the first thing was, we were made to be afraid of others. What's the church about? Church is about people coming together. And all of a sudden we're supposed to be 6 feet apart and our faces covered and all this stuff. And we're just made to be afraid. Like, I'm not particularly worried about masks and even catching COVID. And not to make light of it, but I'm not particularly worried about it. And I found myself several times in a place of business or a doorway, and I'm standing right in by the doorway, and somebody will come in. First thing that pops into my mind is, all right, I'm not particularly worried about this person, but that person may be worried about me, and so I'll move back. Well, what's that body language telling you right there? You come up to a doorway and everybody starts moving away. That's fear. That's I'm not wanting to be close to you. And that's hard on a gathering. And what's the church? The church is a gathering of believers. Okay, number two was, we were denied the meeting for us here in Iowa for a couple weeks. I can't remember how long that period lasted. But it was there for a while. They didn't want you together if there was more than, I can't remember the number now. It was a certain number. And what was scary about that is I was very comfortable with that. I'm an introvert, I guess. And I was perfectly fine staying home and doing that. And that scares me because I don't think that's what we're to do. If you take a family, and Alan's notes up here on the paper, you take a marriage and you do that to a marriage, and what's going to happen to the marriage? It's not going to be very strong, is it? It's going to be a little strung out. It's going to be weakened. Okay. Number three, and then when we were having, we're streaming or whatever you call it, on Zooming, online, everything is separated by another step. So we're together with this screen in between us, and you know, that kind of works. We're separated by media, space, and fear. And then number four, our hearts are hardened by fear. I'm not going to worship with others because I might get sick. I'm not going to help others because I might get sick. And that's a hardening of the heart, because I'm not going to risk my well-being to go help you because you might have the germ. And I think the church suffered a lot for that. And the people who were speaking to us last Sunday were people who probably were considering these things. They were considering that we're finally, things are loosening up and we're able to get, or tightening up maybe is right. Anyway, so we're getting back together and we're looking at the damage that was done and the things that happened because of it. And the damage is still dealing with. So, in case you forgot, and I understand forget, because I was standing out there after this Saturday service, and Josh Riggins did a very good job, and standing out there on the sidewalk, he walks up to me and says, "I really enjoyed your lesson." And then it occurred to me, I can't even remember what you talked about. And here I just opened up the ball to talk about your lesson, and I can't remember what it was. And luckily for me, things kind of went elsewhere, and I was very relieved. So, I understand that. And that was right after that session, or, you know, three lessons. He was the first one. So, his was the 80-20 rule, you know, how come seems like a few people are doing most of the work and all this thing. Basically what he said was, we don't really know who's the 80 and who's the 20 and who's doing the work and all this stuff, because I'm working now, but that doesn't mean that you weren't working earlier. And we all have our part to play. We all have our part to do. And if we keep Christ first, then that will work out a whole lot better. And then Lewis Garvey was up. And his story was not his story. He was talking about our personal experience. And my story is not near as important as Christ's story. And that is very, very true. We get caught up in our own lives and how God has worked in our lives, but we need to focus on how Christ has worked in our lives. And that needs to be the focus. Christ's story, not ours. And then Tad Morris was up and talking about politics and things of that nature. That was very dramatic or attention-grabbing. And what his point was, Christ is first. Christ is first. Above my rights. And that always hits me wrong. Somebody, I can't think of his name right now. I think it was at Dean Avenue. He gave he said pretty much the same thing. He would give up his stake and his guns for Christ. And that was powerful. Think about it. And that's basically what Ted was saying. That we, even though we live in the United States, Christ is first. And our rights are not that first priority. And also, we have to remember that our brothers may have a different viewpoint. They may not believe the same way I do. They may not believe the same way. And that, you know, a different doorway perspective. They're coming from a different background, different thing, and they are believing Christ, and Christ is first, right? So we need to focus on the Christ part. Doesn't mean we can't be open to reason. In one of my scriptures, it talks about that, being open to reason. All right. So then we had Jared Groves. Jared Groves was talking about the truth in love. And what I really liked about his was probably the one I would pick out as my favorite. Maybe not the most interesting, but my favorite because of the perspective he had on it. He pointed out that there are fact lovers, the engineer types, who rules are rules and nothing else matters. You know, that's the far perspective. And then you have all the people sprinkled through and down to the other end. And the other end, you have the only thing that matters is making people happy on the other end. And the people pleasers. And we fall somewhere in between there. We're either people pleasers or fact lovers. And we tend to lean sort of to one side or the other. And it's a learning curve. It's a appreciation of where the other person is on that perspective. And it helps you to deal with them and to deal with yourself. And I loved his thing at the very end where he said, I don't even think this is related, and I think it was probably his most important point he made, was the motive, our motive, and understanding where people are on this spectrum is very important, very important. We have to, like in marriage, the wife burns the toast, gets the flat tire, and in the rain, you know, the perfect country song, and if everything's going wrong, and then the husband goes out and fixes everything, and oh, wait a minute, that was Christ that did that for us, wasn't it? We're the ones that burnt the toast, had the flat tire in the rain, and had totally messed everything up. And Christ made everything right for us. And that's why we need to be very careful with how we deal with people and where they're at in their perspective and they're on that spectrum. Of if it's that spectrum or any other spectrum of personalities. We need to have the right motive and treat our brothers and sisters like Christ treated us. All right. Jeff was up next. Novinsky. Wasn't that great? I don't know who he is. Don't know him. But it was great to be in close contact with people I don't really know, and they were here for the same reason I was here, to worship God, to glorify God, That was wonderful. That's why we do meetings, I think. Is the encouragement and the edification. And that's part of what, when I was talking at the beginning, of down, I'm down in the mud and the weeds, and I'm working my way up. There's always somebody there to help me get there. Part the weeds so I can get through, or whatever. It's always a good thing. You guys are awesome. Okay. He was talking about God's grace. Yes, God's grace. God has a lot of grace. And we need to see how little of it we can use. I think that's pretty much the point. And he cut the end off his lesson, so that was kind of sad. But, you know, time runs out. So he cut it off, and we probably didn't get a full view of what his lesson was. But anyway, God has lots of grace, and we just need to see how little of it we can use. Be conservative with it. And then Sunday afternoon hit, and I must admit, I cannot remember Keith Fenton's lesson. I thought I was awake, and I think I was concentrating on thinking I was awake so much that I'd have no idea what Keith said. So, unless somebody has a summary of it, I can't tell you what it was about. So we'll have to listen to that one again. And then Vic Reddy was up next. And that one's pretty foggy as well. I think he was talking about all the hard stuff. Money, marriage, kids, you know, that kind of stuff. Touchy stuff that people get very sensitive about. And from what I remember, his point was you have to show love and then the concern. I love Greg's analogy. You have to have money in the bank before you can take money out. So you got to have the relationship built and have something in there, and then you can approach those hard subjects a lot easier and a lot better. All right, that's my summary of the meeting. And they all seem to just kind of flow into each other and mesh very well. And so what I wanted to go to Exodus 12, 1 through 13. And this is the Passover. And we're going to read through this, or I'm going to read through this, ESV. So, the Lord said to Moses, I'm in the right place. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." So I never quite made that connection before. But this is their new year, right? That's what I'm understanding here. This is the first month. Yeah, this will be their new year. So we can see the significance in that. We celebrate the New Year's. All right. "It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses." So your family group is going to get together, okay? We understand family. We understand that. All right, so the family gets together. "Shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household." And here we go. "And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbors shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. And you'll find out a little bit why that's important, because they're supposed to eat all the lamb. Okay? So, if there's only two of you, you need friends. Okay? All right, so, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take... So what I want you to get out of that part is that's kind of the church, right? The church, that's what I'm comparing this to, is the church. Jesus is our Passover lamb, and the group, the family, is the church. We're the people getting together. And if your family's too small, it's hard to have church, to have encouragement, to have edification, and all that by yourself all the time. If you're just, say, four people, and you're just constantly fighting it out by yourself, that would be discouraging. Small church groups have a hard time staying a church together. But when you get more numbers, then you get more edification possibilities or chances, because you have more people participating. That's why I think the church suffered so much from COVID, was because we separated, all went separate ways. We all were separated. I mean, we were connected, sort of, by social media. But social media is kind of fake family, I guess you would say. And it's just kind of, you know, you can smile for the camera, take your picture, and then everybody thinks you're happy all the time. So, anyway, so, sorry. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbors shall take according to the number of persons. So, think of your neighbors. How many of your neighbors do you have the same perspective as they do? And you're being told to be in the same house all night for this, the Passover, or the church. You're being told to come together as a church with your neighbor. And do you always agree with your neighbor? I don't. My neighbors, yeah, all of them, my immediate neighbors, I don't have the same perspective. And it would probably be a little trickier to, if all of a sudden a square church building were to fall out of heaven and land on our four houses, this is the church, get along. It would be tricky. Well, that's what the church is. We're coming from all over the place. And we have different perspectives. And so we have to be careful around each other. All right. You're getting a look inside my brain. I can see some puzzled looks. Welcome to the dark side or something, I guess. Okay. All right, so they're keeping it, and they're going to slaughter it at twilight. Okay, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat at. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. Okay. Isn't that how we do the Lord's table, sort of? And that, I didn't think of that till this morning as well. But when we partake of the Lord's table, we're all sitting here, and we're not particularly relaxed and we're ready to go. Some of us more than others, we're thinking about what's going to happen afterwards. And it's a meal, but it's not, we're not lounging around eating Thanksgiving dinner that takes an hour and a half. Anyway, all right. So, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So what happened if they went out the door? They weren't on the inside of the doorway. They didn't make it, did they? The firstborn didn't make it anyway. I'd have to do a little more thinking on that. But it wasn't good to be on the outside. And that's the way it is with the church. We need to be in the church. We need to be in the group, in the family, and under Christ's blood. It's Christ's blood that protects us, right? Like the wife who burnt the toast and had the flat tire, they're protected by, she is protected by her husband's love, and things are made right. And we are protected by Christ's blood. It covers our sins and makes us right. And we need to stay in that protection. We need to stay in that. All right. I guess my point is, this group and wherever it's happening in the world today, this group is, I think, more important than I've ever put emphasis on before. I think us meeting together is I can't describe it because I haven't formulated the thought yet, I guess. It's so important. I think we need to be here. We need to, not particularly here, but we need to be because I get dark. I get down in the mud and the weeds. I get bogged down, not necessarily wrong and sinful, but just stuck and not encouraged. And when I come here, it pulls me up out of the mud and the weeds. And that's what we need to do for each other. I'm not sure I'm doing that this morning, but that's what we need to do. We need to be a safe place for each other. We need to be support for each other. And that's not my bent. That's not my nature. When I get stressed or we'll just go with stressed. When I get stressed, I isolate. I don't even I don't even go to Joy. I don't. Family is not where I go. I just go by myself. And I know that's not particularly good. That's not where I need to go. That's not what I need to do. And I know you're on a different end of, you're a different place in the spectrum. You're not, maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you go to your family when you get stressed and stuff like that. But that's not what I do. And I can see that I like to isolate. At least I think I like to isolate. That's what I tend to do. And I have seen the results of that, and it's not necessarily, it's not good, because I just get further and further down. So I guess what I'm saying is, I think the church is isolated long enough. We need to be together, and we need to recognize that that is a good thing. And that's my point this morning, is I love you guys, and I may not show it, I may not tell you that, but and I may resent it at times. There's times where I don't want to be cheered up and encouraged and spurred on to good works. So, but it is good. And those are my thoughts for this morning. I hope you got something out of it. So the church here is an awesome group. And if you want to be part of it, which is highly recommended, yeah, we can help you with that. And remember, it's not so much that a social group. We are here to remember Christ. Christ is the first priority, right? He's the first priority, and you are the second priority. And we need to remember that and encourage one another. So we can help you with anything you need as we stand and sing the closing song.